You know, they came down and they got in the line, and there was one person who seemingly was very rude, but he wasn't rude, he was just determined. You know, and have you ever stood in those security lines? Huh? And you press for time, have you ever, and you had somebody come and get in front of you? Huh? Have you ever been there? I've been there many times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so they were all standing in line, you know, and looking at their watches and fretting and this and that and hoping that they would do something about holding the plane, blah, blah, blah. But there was this one guy, he would come in, he came in behind them all, and he got in front of one and said, excuse me, my plane is about to leave. And then he moved again, excuse me, my plane is about to leave. Until he got himself right at the front of the line, and he went through. He made the plane. Everybody else lost it. Hallelujah. And my friends, they went to the help desk, hallelujah, and begin to complain to them and said, you have to get us out of here, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, we don't. And they said, what do you mean, you don't? He said, we don't, know you don't. Now, this is a conversation, you understand, because there was no other plane going out until the next morning, so they had to have accommodations, they had to have food, blah, 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 blah. Hello? And the help desk say, no, we're not obligated to do that. Well, it's your fault. The construction and the plane coming in late, blah, 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 blah. All the reasons in the world where you could be justified for being irritated that they would not help you. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, well, we are not obligated because it was possible to make it. And they said, what do you mean it was possible? He says, one person did it. One person set the standard for the whole other line that was there, that were complacent in their line and just willing to grumble and mumble about their possibility of missing their flight. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the position, the place of what it is that God has for us is something that is available, but there is something that you and I have to do about it. And one of the things that we're going to have to do is examine our lifestyles. What are your priorities in lifestyle? Huh? What are your priorities in lifestyle? Is it comfort? Is it security? Is it education? Is it job benefits? What is your security? What is your priority in lifestyle? If, now, brethren, I'm not telling you you have to do this. I'm telling you, if you want to be a part of the overcomers, if you want to be a part of the first fruits company, there is something that you and I, that is expected of you and I, and I have the responsibility of getting the word from God what it is He wants me to do. And then I have the responsibility of, before God, of implementing it and putting it into practice. And it's not something sometimes that you can do, just jump in and do. Sometimes it's incrementally, but quite frankly, brethren, I think we're running out of time. I think we're running out of time. It says that they were eating and drinking. Matthew 24. Hello? Matthew 24 says they were eating and drinking and making merry. I guess you can say that they were playing on their cell phones, they were doing their social networks, they were answering their emails, they were checking out the games on the computer, doing all of the things that you do that take so much of your time. You know, have you ever said, well, I don't have time? And then have you ever examined your time? I have to repent. Every time I say that, I'm trying to bite my tongue when it comes around. I can't say I don't have the time, because I spend a lot of time doing other things that aren't necessary to or pertinent to the thing that pertains to that which I should be my priority, which is the aspect of eternity and the place that I fit into it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, it is not up to God. Do you understand that? There's a scripture in Romans. Is Romans, Romans, it says, those whom he has foreknown. Romans 8, isn't it? That's very good. I thought it was Romans 8 because it's the chapter of new beginnings. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 9. Let's read it. Huh? Oh, it's right up there. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to become, to be conformed. That's a very important word, by the way. Do you have the interlinear for that? Hallelujah. Huh? I want conformed. Huh? Morphos. Huh? Is that right? It's this one right here, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like metamorphosis, isn't it? Huh? Hallelujah. Only it's a detailed form of metamorphosis, I suppose. What does it say? Jointly form, conform to, fashion like unto. Well, that really doesn't give you the. It means to be pressed. That means to be pressed, like you take a press. I saw an apple press. You know what they make apple juice? They have this apple press. It's just a big round cylinder. It has this platform that fits down inside of it, and then it has this big, huge screw on the platform. Hello? And they put all those nice, big, round apples in there, and then they start putting down the pressure. And as that goes down, it presses and presses and presses and presses and presses. Hallelujah. And out runs the juice. That is the thing that they are after. And when it says we are conformed, it says when we are conformed, where is it? When we are conformed, huh? Oh boy, I'm confused. It means that we are conformed to what? What are we conformed to? To the image, huh? To the image of His Son. Put your little dealie right here on this, please. What is that? Okay, I thought so. Likeness. Hallelujah. It's not talking necessarily by the aspect of image, as we look at image, but it's talking about an entity that is in the image that demonstrates the reality of God. Hallelujah. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Say it a little bit better than that.
Amen.
All right, praise God. And if the person next to you falls asleep, just hit them with your elbow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, there's Romans 8. Is it Romans 8? It says that, it says conformed, it's talking about his likeness. Maybe it's Romans 6. Huh? No, it's not there, but it alludes to it. But it says that through the fellowship of his suffering, huh? That we are being conformed. Is that what it says? Is it? Huh? This is Bible study, so... Hallelujah. That I may... Yes, there we go. That is very good. Go check on this word here too, by the way. I want to see if it's the same word. It means I'm being pressed. I'm pressed. I'm being pressed into a mold. Hallelujah. I'm being pressed into a mold. That means my circumstances are pressing me. My relationships are pressing me. My mind is pressing me. My emotions are pressing me. They are pressing me, pressing me, pressing me. Hallelujah. 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 Aren't you glad you're going to be pressed?
Amen.
Oh boy. I only got about a 30% retort on that one. Hallelujah. I says, we are being made conformable unto his death. He didn't say life. He didn't say life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, brethren. Hallelujah. There's a thought I want to bring up here because it seems like everybody wants to be a preacher.
At least that was the way it was in India. They get saved and they want to be a preacher. Not only did they want to be a preacher, they wanted to be a pastor. Hallelujah. Brother Barrett was covering this quite well. And the sockets, these are not only indicative of the ministry in the body that is working to bring perfection to those who are wanting to enter in, but these posts are all set in those brass sockets. Brass is judgment, but brass is fire. So anyone who has been designated or anointed to be in this position, his life is one of constant fire. And it has to be that way. That's why so many men in the ministry have failed. That's why they have failed. Because the pressure or the tribulation that is applied to them, because they are to be examples. Did you know that? Not examples. Examples. And the fact of the matter is, the fact of the matter of that demonstration and that actuality is a prophetic word to anyone who wants to enter in through this. This whole structure is not just an example or a diagram or a schematic. It's a prophetic word. It's a living word. It was spoken back there when God gave it to Moses, and Moses put it down on whatever, however he put it down on, and it has been broadcasting or sounding the trumpet of God, or calling the people of God to a particular place of assembly. And for one reason or another, God picked me, and he picked you, to hear the clarion call of that trumpet. And in hearing it, I have a responsibility. Now, Paul said, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. He desires a good thing. But I'm telling you, brother, no man goes to war without first considering the cost. No man builds a house, and I have built plenty of them. Hallelujah. But sit down without first sitting down and figuring out the cost of what it's going to take me to build that house. And you know, some places I've lost my shirt. Hello? Because I did not accurately foresee or determine what it was going to do according to the schematic or the plan that I had. Hello? And who paid for it? You think the customer paid for it? You think the suppliers gave me a break on my material? Absolutely not. I had to pull it out of my pocket. Out of my food allowance. Out of my budget for clothes, out of my budget for schooling, out of my budget for rent, out of my budget for the things Hallelujah. It's like those days that those people don't walk anymore. They got those inline skates. They just skate along. I see them down the street. You know? Hallelujah. And I said, boy, that beast walking. I said, that is enough. I seen these little water scooters. These little, no, they're not water scooters. What are they? Those little boards. You know? And no longer, no, that one gave up now.
No longer do they push them, they have little motors on them. Huh? They have motors on them. Huh? And in the airport, they have these guys with these two-wheeled carts. Have you seen those guys? Huh? Scooting around? That's cool, isn't it? I can tell you, I wish I had one of those in a few places that I had to catch a plane. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we do not understand the concept. We do not understand. You know, anything that goes that denies the actuality of the reality of it, anything that gives us an easier manner, an easier route, is not the gospel of which God has given us concerning what it is that we need to do, where we need to be, how we need to be there, and when we need to be there. And another thing, brethren, I don't know if you are understanding the criticalness of the time that we are living in. I don't know. Oh, I suppose you can read your news and whatnot, and you might be able to say this or that about it. But I'm telling you, it's on an irreversible, unchangeable course. And it's multiplying. You know what I mean? It's multiplying. It's multiplying. Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah. The world leaders it's so silly. The world leaders are more interested in climate change. You know, in a few couple of years, they're not going to even have to worry about climate change because there's not going to be any humanity left to deal with it or to pollute it. Hello? Because the devil's aspect, or the devil's thought, is to eradicate you, your way of life, your way of living, everything about you. He wants to kill you. Hello? That's what the devil wants to do. That's what the devil does best. Huh? He robs? Huh? He steals? Huh? He kills? And he destroys. He can't do his nature. That's his nature, by the way. His nature is to do that. He's created himself in a particular way, in a particular manner. And all he wants is to, in some twisted turn of his mind, get even with God. Or think that he is greater than God. Hallelujah. But you know what the devil is guilty of? We are guilty of it in our actuality of interaction with different situations and circumstances when we move contrary to righteousness. When we want to assert our position of self-preeminence. When we want to assert our position of self-rightness. If we want to preserve our position of equality. Oh, that's such a big issue now, right? Hallelujah. It's really a big issue. And whether you know it or not, you have to deal with it because you're living under the spirit of it. You shouldn't be living under the spirit of it because you should be in a place with God where you have to exercise that authority over it. But in order for you and I to exercise that authority over it, we must be conformed.
Amen.
We must be conformed. We must be conformed. If we are not conformed, whatever it is that we are doing is not going to be sufficient. Oh boy, maybe that's a little loud, isn't it? I'm loud enough as it is. Hallelujah. We must be conformed. God wants us to know the reality, the magnitude. Hallelujah. I want to get out of the rut of having to use a plane. Come on.
Amen.
Am I crazy?
No.
Well, if you think I'm crazy, you ought to travel as much as I've traveled. I don't want to fly anymore. And you know it's getting very scary to fly. Maybe you can go down there and get on a plane with all the confidence in the world that you're going to get from point A to point B. But when you go out of Africa as much as I do, and you see the security that is not there. It's not there. It's not there, brother. They run through your bag. They run through your bag. They pat you down. They do all of these things. And still they miss everything. They're more worried about a teacup I have in my hand than they are with what's in my suitcase. And all they're looking for me to give them some money. We used to travel. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. The famous one is, have you got anything for me? And they find out I'm involved with God. He says, you got a blessing for me? You want to bless me? I've learned to carry around books like Mr. Pagolo at the Gates of Hell. I carry the pattern around. I carry the one that says judgment at the household of God first. And I say, I got a blessing for you. Here, read this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's an intimidating spirit. They're trying to intimidate a son of God. And unfortunately, they're very good at it. Hallelujah. They're very good at it. They're trying to intimidate. And you either have to... You're either forced to pay something out. And now they're even starting something new. When you fill out the form, they want to know how much money you got. That's what they want to know. And I said to a guy, why do I have to tell you how much money I got? I said, I pull out my pocket and I said, I don't have any money. I'm broke. Hallelujah. It's a spirit of intimidation and fear. Because they think that they have the power, they have authority over you as a human being, and they can coerce you and make you do what they want you to do. But if you have a reality of God, if you have the position of righteousness, if you're walking in the statutes of God, you have an authority that is over that authority. But don't try it if you're not in that place. Hallelujah. Don't try it if you're not in that place. Hallelujah. But we should be in that place. Hallelujah. The circumstances of our situation. To be a son of God, not in this capacity, but in this capacity. Those are people, by the way. We're called stars of God. Hallelujah. If you are a son of God and you're walking in this realm, you're walking in the authority, in the position of place of the omnipotence of God. Hallelujah. But you know, sometimes getting there is an incremental thing and a step-by-step process of getting out of here, into here, out of there, into here. It's an incremental process, and I have to be applying it every day of my life. Brother Rick, it's a 24/7 job. It's not once a week. It's not once a week. It's not even a specific day a week. A specific time a week. The Bible says, early shall I rise up to seek thee. How many of you get up early to seek the Lord? Don't raise your hands. You might embarrass somebody else. Hallelujah. You know, when the priests, they were commanded to put, what do they call it? He's gone. Platelets? Frontlets. They actually had a band going around their head. They had a little box. Right there in their head. And they would always wear that. They didn't understand the reality of it, but I understand the spiritual concept. It is talking about our mind. It is talking about our thoughts. It's talking about the direction. How many of you were discussing the Word of God this afternoon while you were eating lunch? How many of you were discussing it? What stirred you? What sparked some interest in you? And did you turn around and say, hey, you know, this little point here and this little point here, what do you think that means? What did you hear? How did you relate to that? I don't think so. Did you notice how everyone was lingering in the Spirit of God? We kept trying to get into lunch. Did you notice it? I was the only one aware of it. I don't know. I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave that sensitive presence. But I guess this overcame. This overcame that. Huh? Hallelujah. Brother, it's indicative of our problem. It's indicative of our being in the world and a part of the world. Hallelujah. You know, I am asking God to deliver me from the news. I'm asking God to deliver me from the news. Hello, if God wants to give me some news, He can give. If I need to know some news that God wants me to know, He can tell me what that news is. I have to be delivered. I want to go on there and find out how this man is doing, what he's doing, because what they're doing is all deviltry, and it just makes me feel bad. It grieves my heart. It grieves my soul. Yeah. To see the country in which I am living sliding into hell on a greased rail. Hello? Not to mention, God told me personally, He said, this country is dead. Now, that was in 2012. How much more deader can it get? Hello? Well, that requires some action on my part. Do you hear me? I have to start divorcing myself from my position of citizenship. It's not that I'm not a responsible person in my community. My responsible, I still vote. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I still vote. I know some people won't even take the trouble to vote. But I enjoy the benefits of the country I'm living in, what little there are left of them. Hello? So I have an individual responsibility in that, to an accountability before God, because I'm exercising my authority when I do it. Hello? Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't know what the statistic was in the last election in the United States, but it was like 30% of the Christians, that was all that voted. Hallelujah. Not that they would have voted right. But they don't understand the concept. They don't understand the spiritual responsibility. Hallelujah. I have to begin to work on my position. Well, what country am I a citizen of? Oh, I'm a citizen of the U.S. I'm a citizen of the Kingdom of God. Citizen of the U.S. It's like doing a hokey pokey or something. Hallelujah. We vacillate back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We're spiritual when we come into this environment. And then when we leave the environment or the spirit lives, we become citizens of this world. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're not understanding the concept. We're not understanding the reality. And God is bringing a revelation to us now that He is unfolding the reality of what it is He has been speaking to us for the last 50 years. He's bringing a reality into our circumstance. Hallelujah. We were in a meeting in Germany here recently. Oh, what a glorious time we had. There wasn't very many of us. Praise the Lord. But those that were there can testify and witness to the moving of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And some of the people from England made it a priority to come and be there. Hallelujah. Which I very much appreciate. Hallelujah. And I think we have to start ordering our schedules and our budgets and in hearing something from God as accordance to what it is that we should do in that participation. Not that we want to go and preach. That's one of the problems sometimes. But when we go because we're wanting to hear from God.
I'm learning it's better to sit in my chair and listen to somebody else than for me to get up here and teach me out of trouble. Hallelujah. I am learning that, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we were in this conference, and at the end of the conference, there was a spirit of praise and worship, which we have been kind of experiencing here. We have been moving in certain songs. Have you noticed the difference in the music? Huh? Hello? Are you here? Say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I am individually responsible for what I bring to this meeting. And you know something? If I don't bring something to it, then I am hindering it. And I am accountable for that hindrance. You know, God doesn't look at us in the way that we look at ourselves in the mirror, brother man.
Hallelujah.
He has a total sense. Oh, here it goes.
I keep turning it off.
You should take over that.
Hallelujah. I am responsible. I am responsible. What was it Brother Barak said? He said, what? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hey, give me that scripture, will you, son? Give me the scripture, please. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want you to look at what it says about fear. Huh? And I want you to look at what it says about trembling. Does somebody can help him where it's at? Can you find it? Because you and I, we need to dig into these words. You know, I have a problem. I have a real problem. I get up and minister, and I'm not really knowing what I'm saying. I have to go home. I have to put the tape on, hello? And I have to listen to it. And then when I'm listening to it, I go into the Word. Because God said, you open your mouth, I will fill it. And I don't want to get in the way of that. You understand? Hallelujah. I don't want to. So I have to go home, I have to put it on, I have to listen to it. I open my Bible up, I open my computer up to my Bible. And as I'm ministering, I'll say that God, such and such and such is in the Bible. I have to go to the Bible and check it out. I want to make sure it's there. Hello? Hallelujah. That's what I have to do. Hallelujah. What do you do? You know, what do you do? How do you handle it? Hallelujah. So what does it say? Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more, in my absence, work out. Let's look at this work out first. I want to look at that. Hallelujah. What God is doing is outlining and highlighting our individual positions of responsibility, as well as accountability. Where is it? Work out, accomplish by implication, finish, fashion, cause to, deed, perform, work out. It's a sweat terminology. Do you understand when I say sweat terminology? Huh? It means you're really putting your effort and energy into it. It's one thing it takes, brother, is time. Huh? It takes time. You know, it takes me sometimes a week to get through one word. Huh? You can imagine my backlog. Hallelujah. I got enough tapes to go through until Jesus comes. And he's always adding to them. Hallelujah. Work out. It means to sweat. It means hard labor. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. You know, I did not know what hard labor was until I went to Africa. I spent many years in Africa. My goodness, I spent more years in Africa, I think, than I have in the United States. Are almost equal. Hallelujah. And I see these little ladies, they're building a building, And they got these little baskets or pans. Huh? They fill them up with sand. Huh? And there's two or three of them there to help each other get it on their head. And they take the elevator up to the top floor. They've got these wood ramps. Well, you know what I'm talking about. These little wood ramps. Ramps going up this way, platform, going up this way, platform, going up this way. And they're carrying those things up. Up there, 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 stories. That little pan of sand. Huh? Dump it, and then they come down. Oh my God. It's definitely what I would not call OSHA approved. OSHA is the safety organization in the United States that govern construction sites. Hallelujah. Just that little ramp alone, you watch them go up there, the thing's going like this. Huh? Hallelujah. And they do that all day long. And they make maybe a dollar. In Ethiopia, it's about $2 a day. What is their self-worth? What about equality? Huh? Come on, brethren. Put it into perspective. Hallelujah. We are to work out your own. It's a sweat job. It's a sweat job. Hallelujah. I was in another country. Hallelujah. And this person was doing some work in their yard, and they were bringing in stones. They were bringing in stones to lay down on the ground, and they were going to cover that with a gravel or something. And then it was kind of like getting ready to lay a patio or something. I saw a person not much bigger than this little girl right here. I saw a person with a rock on their head. One rock. That's all she could carry. All he could carry. One rock in his head. Hallelujah. Coming in with his share of the load. Work out your salvation. Work at it. Work at it. Hallelujah. Work at your salvation. Hallelujah. Your own salvation. We like to work on each other's salvation. Sometimes it becomes a he-she thing, doesn't it? Huh? Anybody ever tell you to practice what you preach? Huh? You never had that experience? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, work out your own salvation with fear. You see this word right here, phobos? That's where we get the word phobia. Right? Hallelujah. Phobos means put in fear, alarm, or fright. Be afraid, exceedingly fear or terror. Oh, why should we do that? Because God is a just God. Let me read you a scripture. And this is really the scripture that the Lord has given me that I have been chewing on since I've got here. And it was a word. You know, it's really strange how God works with me. Hallelujah. I'll come looking to the Lord for a word, and most of the time He just speaks something or puts a burden on me, but sometimes it comes from somewhere else. And I had sent out a little message to different ones of my travels and what my expectations that were expectations as to where we were going, right? And that we were going to have meetings and so forth, and asking for prayer and some input. Well, one person responded. Praise God for the one person. Hallelujah. And he responded by giving me this, he responded by giving me this scripture. Hallelujah. And it's in Ezekiel 22. And I want you to read, go home and read the whole chapter, please. If you don't read the whole chapter, it's probably not, it probably will be insignificant. But he's not talking about a heathen. He's not talking about Gentiles. He's not talking about Israel in the terminology or the generality. He's talking to Jerusalem. He's talking about Jerusalem. You remember the lesson today? Or yesterday? Whenever it was? Where is Jerusalem? Somebody was listening. Somebody was listening. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody was listening. Holy place. So, anytime that you hear Jerusalem, or the Lord is addressing Jerusalem by a prophetic word. Now, you have to understand something, brethren, about the prophetic ministry. A prophetic ministry is a ministry that delivers a word that expands and moves and comes to a position or a place of fullness in the course of time. It is never too old. It's never historical. And any word that you find in the prophets, hallelujah. There is no doubt about it that those are prophetic words that are spoken not for the benefit of the people at the time per se, but is spoken for the time frame in which you and I are living as in a generational experience. Hallelujah. Did you know that God goes by a generational clock? Did you know that? What was the word that Jesus spoke about the temple? He didn't say within a specific certain length of time such and such would happen. He said, this generation shall what? Not pass away. And if you look the word generation up as it is used by Jesus or the Bible, hello, in the aspect of time, you will find that that word, generation, pertains to a clock. Not a specific year. And we have made mistakes by taking words and putting them for specific dates. Not that the word was wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we did not have the understanding of the concept of how God talks time. Hello. Hallelujah. I'll give you an example, an Old Testament example of it, in the aspect of God and how He works it with time. The children of Israel rebelled against God, against Moses, in something that Moses wanted them to do, and it angered God. Right there should be a key for us. Right there should be a key. Yeah, I think that the Bible talks about an angry God, doesn't it? Or do we erase those words out? Do we take them out? Do we blot them out? You know, you get that redacted copy. Hallelujah. I think we mentally sometimes redact it. We block it out. But it talks about falling into the hands. Somebody help me. What does it say? Falling into the hands of an angry God, doesn't it? Does it say that? Of a living God. And the tone or the quality of the scripture, what is it referring to? Wrath. Angry. In some respects. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The other one that comes to me is says, and I swore in my wrath. They would not. That's in Hebrews, right? Hebrews 3. 4. God said, I swore in my wrath. Can we get that scripture? I want to look at it. I don't want you to take my word for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Verse 3. 14.
Okay, where is it at? Somebody there. Oh, yeah. All right. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Brethren, if that applied to Israel in that time frame, in that experience, how much more does it apply to us in the aspect of the concept of what it is God wants to do and where He wants to lead us? Hello? Hallelujah. All right, I want to look at this wrath. I want you to get this wrath up for me. Will you just leave that? What is it? In my wrath. Orgy. violent passion. Justifiable abhorrence. Justifiable abhorrence. By implication, punishment, anger, indignation, vengeance. Hallelujah. You know, in that little story I was telling you about Moses and the children, God said, I'm going to wipe them all out. Now one of them above the age of 20 shall come into the promised land. Hello? And what did Moses do? It was as much a test for Moses as it was for the children of Israel, you understand. Moses said, oh yes, go ahead and wipe them out. Oh yes, you're going to make me the patriarch. Oh yes, I'm going to take Abraham's place. No. He went down in intercession and he had the boldness to tell God something about what he should not do and what he should do because of this or because of that. Hello? Hallelujah. But you know, not one of them entered into the promised land. It took 40 years. That generation did not enter in. It was the new generation. Generation of the wilderness that entered in. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And quite frankly, it's a prophetic word, brethren. It's saying that your old position of religious thinking, your old positions of religious living, your old position of religious ceremony is not going to go into the promised land. It is the new man who has been conformed to the image of his suffering. His suffering. Now, that means I'm going to have to suffer like he suffered. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to suffer, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to suffer physically. Hello? Hallelujah. But in the suffering, there is an overcoming. And I believe that there is a position of coming out of that suffering, much like the worm sheds the skin of the butterfly. Hello? Do you know the process of that metamorphosis thing? That happens. Do you know that creature in that cocoon is completely jellified? It's not distinguished. There's not a distinguishable aspect until the aspect of the moth or the butterfly begins to form. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. And as it forms and as the wings begin to grow and it comes time for it to break out, it has to break out on its own strength and its own volition. Hello? You can't help it. You can't help it. You can't. If you have it, you destroy it. Because it will never fly. If you have it, you get a little cut on the cocoon. Oh, the poor little thing, let me just have it. You've destroyed his ability to fly because he needs that working, breaking out of that cocoon because he's using his wings, he's using his feet to press and push and to crack and to crawl out of that, and it strengthens his body, all the tendons or muscles or whatever it is they have, strengthens it to a position or a place to where it can spread its wings and flap them and fly. Hallelujah. And it uses that, it says, we are to be metamorphosized. Huh? We are to be metamorphosized. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we raising our children? Huh? Are we raising our children to be more like us? I had a daughter-in-law. God came to her one day and said, I don't know, she was having trouble or something, and she was talking to God about the trouble, and God came back to her and says, well, are you raising your kids under me or under yourself? Hallelujah. Something of that nature. What are you raising your kids to be? Good British citizens? Hallelujah. With a Nigerian heritage? Hallelujah. We don't even understand the concept of the family of God. We were talking about that. We don't understand the concept of the family of God. We say brother this, sister that. Do we really understand it? The bond that should be between us, the position of caring and concern that should be between us. Hello? Hallelujah. Sometimes it's us four and no more. Hallelujah. And I can guarantee you most of us, maybe there's some exceptions, most of us put our natural family responsibilities first. And I'm not saying that those aren't important, but I'm saying you cannot let them interfere with the message or the burden or the word that God speaks to you at a particular time. Hallelujah. And brethren, I'm not talking theoretically. I'm talking out of some experience. I haven't overcome entirely, that's for sure. Hallelujah. But I'm working on it. And God is seeing to it that He's given me plenty of opportunity to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to put it into perspective, don't we? How does it apply to me personally? How does it apply to my situation, my set of circumstances? Am I measuring up to God? Is He pleased with my action? Or is He displeased with it? I want to be in this position. I want to be up here. This is where I want to be. Walking in the heavenlies. Jesus says, I go to prepare what? A place for you. We're talking about the economy of God. They're talking about the personality of God. And in that complexity of that personality, somehow, somewhere, He has predestined and foreordained that you and I should have a position in it. And that predestination and that ordination is dependent upon us in what we choose to do about our situation. It's a job application. When He said He was offering you and I a job, I go to prepare a place. And the place we know is in John chapter 17, that they, Father, what? May be one. How? As you are in me and I am in you, and we are one in each other. So you can't divide or separate God from Jesus or the Holy Ghost, because they're all in there mixed together, and the magnitude of it, and He wants to put us in the pot with Him. Hallelujah. You know, my wife's a good cook. And she makes a good, well, we call it chicken gumbo soup. It's got okra in it, He's got carrots, he's got celery, he's got some peas in there, and it's got mixed up with chicken broth, you know. Hallelujah. He's got a little meat in it sometimes. And then she throws a bunch of other stuff in there, I don't know. Puts herbs in it, you know, spices in it. Praise the Lord. She just really kind of dolls it all up, you know. And then she cooks it, and then she takes it and lets it set. Hello? She puts it in the refrigerator and lets it set for a couple of days. She wants those flavors to mingle. She wants those that recipe to start to blend together, start to mix up. And you know, I take a bite of it, and I can't tell what is the carrot. I can't tell what is the okra. I can't tell what is the okra, I can't tell what is the broccoli, I can't tell what is anything. I can't even tell you that it was chicken broth. Huh? Because it's so mingled and mixed up together. All I can tell you is, it's good. And I like it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God says that they may be one, even as they. John 17, turn over there if you would, please. John 17. We'll get back to Ezekiel here in a moment. This is the last opportunity I get, so you just better stay awake. Last time they gave me the last meeting, it lasted almost for 4 hours. Don't worry, it's not going to go that long. Hallelujah. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Verse. All right, let's go to verse 20. John chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, so that we get the context, that we know that he is including you and I in this chicken gumbo soup. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, not only do I pray for these alone, but what? But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Oh my God, my God. Do you understand what just happened right there? Do you have any comprehension? Huh? He just transferred the position of authority. It's not his word. It's now their word. He said that he didn't say that they might be transferred through the word that I gave them. It's saying that they have now become the word. Amen. They have now become the reality of that word. Amen. You and I are supposed to become the reality of the word. Amen. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be a walking, talking testament of the living God. Hallelujah. We are supposed to, our life, our smile, our countenance, our demeanor, our behavior is supposed to radiate the oneness and the magnificence of a mighty God. That's what we are. You are a word. Paul said, not written. Paul said, not written on tables of stone, but upon the tablet. The tablet. You are our living epistle. Isn't that what he said again? You are our testimony. You are our epistle. Hallelujah. Every time when somebody read you, they would recall. And the reality of God that Paul has, because that reality was now yours, and it's now your word. Hallelujah. He said to Timothy, stir up that gift that is in you by the laying on of a hand. Stir it up, Timothy. He didn't tell somebody in the neighborhood to go over and knock on Timothy's door and stir up his gift. He told Timothy, your responsibility. Your responsibility. You have a responsibility to stir up that gift. Hallelujah. God brings you into these types of environments and puts you under this type of ministry to get you to be stirred up. That stirring will last me on the door out there.
Amen.
But I am not responsible for that. I'm only responsible for giving you what it is that God is telling me to speak to you. Your responsibility is to find out the reality and the truth of it. That's your responsibility.
Hallelujah. Oh, I just turned it off.
I guess somebody's trying to tell me to go home. Hallelujah. I need to pray for these. I want to back up. Let's go to verse, Brother Barrett ministered on this earlier. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. And if you really want to know the word he gave, then go into John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Huh? Hallelujah. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Hallelujah. What else? It says, the Word was God. Hello? And that Word was what? It was light. And it was life of men. You have the Word. You have the life of men inside of you. Did you know that? You have the life. Men going to hell out there. You have the ability to save him. You have the ability to save him. Hallelujah. Because you are a written word. You are an epistle of God that has inscribed upon you a reality greater than the reality of the church or the denomination that you came out of. And we're trying to make the holy place peaceful, a denominational position of worship. Hallelujah. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Don't you see the transference of authority? Do you sense it? Do you feel it in the spirit? There is a transference. There is a delegation of responsibility. There is an aspect of laying accountability upon their doorstep. They were now accountable for that. And you know how they lived up to it? Huh? One got his head cut off. Another one was boiled in oil. And then exiled to the island of Patmos. One was crucified upside down. Hallelujah. Now one of them, other than John, died a natural death. Every one of them died a facilitated death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are our ensamples. This is, well, maybe I should just say, these are my ensamples. I have to measure up to these people. I have to go past these people. Do you understand that? Because they, without me, without you, without you, without you, without you, you, this little baby over here, without her, they cannot be made perfect. Am I teaching her perfection? You're shaking your head, no, sweetie. You can pray for perfection. It's true. It's true. We're not teaching perfection. We're teaching acceptable tolerance. Hallelujah. And God is not going to look at it with a lighthearted matter. I want to go back over. No, let me see. Did I finish up here? Hallelujah. He says, so I'm talking about the Word. I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world, but thou shouldest what? Keep them from the evil. Hallelujah. You know how you are kept from the evil? You know how you do it? You have to discern it. The only way that you can discern it is if you have a relationship with God and He gives you what is right. And He doesn't have to tell you what is wrong. Because what is right will always bear witness to the wrong. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother DeSeal used to tell me, he said, don't confront wrongness. Just bring the Word. Just share the Word of God. Just share the Word of God. That's what he said, don't confront it. And then it didn't mean that there aren't times that you have to stand up and say something. But he said, you don't confront it in an argumentative manner, trying to convince somebody that you're right and they're wrong. The more you do that, the more they're convinced that you're wrong and they're right. And you're feeding off of each other. Spirits in you are feeding. Hallelujah. You have to bring the Word of God. Every time the devil came to Jesus Christ, he gave them the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. Hallelujah. He said, thou should not take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world. You are not of the world. You're not supposed to be. Hallelujah. Even as I am not of the world. Hallelujah. Sanctify them through thy truth. And that thy word is truth. Do you know how you sanctify the word as truth in another individual? He goes on to say, I have sanctified myself. The responsibility of sanctification isn't the responsibility of God to sanctify you. The process of sanctification is already there. You have to implement it. You have to say no. You have to say no. Not going that direction. No, I'm not going that direction. No, I'm not going that direction. I'm just going this direction. Hallelujah. My conversation in an argument is vertical. My conversation in an argument is vertical, brethren. Not horizontal. Not horizontal. Hallelujah. All right, back down to here, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Even thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, that they also might be one in us. Hallelujah. Remember the us? Huh? Let us make man. Hallelujah. And when he said, let us make man, he incorporated you and me in the process of the making. And what it is that we can contribute to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Oh my God. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Hallelujah. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, the emphasis of the structure of the sentence is not on me. It has nothing to do with me except for my participating with God, getting myself into a position or in a place that is acceptable by Him in His standards, and His judgment sees that I am a fit man. It has nothing to do in the natural arena. I have no other testimony but that I am in that position of submission to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That would avoid 10 out of 10 arguments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. I got one more scripture. I saved the best for last. Hallelujah. Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter. And I suggest that you go in and read that whole chapter so you get the context of it. But it's a document of indictment. Hallelujah. And he's talking to Jerusalem. Talking to the Holy Voice Church. Hallelujah. I want to go over here to the last part of the chapter. Hallelujah. Let me start at the 29th. Let me start at the 28th verse. And her prophets, Jerusalem prophets, have dubbed them with untempered mortar. That is a lie. That is a lie and truth. That is a lie and truth mixed together. It is having a word, and denying the power of it. Do you know what mortar does? In block and brick, you know what it does? It's an adhesive. It's like glue. In fact, some mortars, they put glue in it. And what it does is you put it on one block, and then you take another block and you kind of butter it up a little bit and you put it down, tap it around, level it out, and it forms an adhesion to the bucket that's on and to the brick that is being placed on. And when that is dry, and locked together, it's very difficult to break it. You can break it, but it's very difficult to break it. Hallelujah. But it says you have used an untempered mortar. It means that it does not have the quality of strength in it to hold fast to what it is adhered to. Why do we have divisions? Why do we have separations? Why do we have arguments that seem insurmountable and cause so much damage? Why? Because we are put together with a theology that has not had the reality of God in it. We have a word, but we're not utilizing the power of the word to bring forth the reality of that adhesive quality. Huh? You know, the division should come on one basis and one basis alone, when God divides it. And God separates. Huh? Oh yes, He does. God separates. He says, I'm going to divide the sheep from the goats. And He says, I'm going to divide sheep from sheep. Where am I going to be in that division? That's a pertinent question for me, personally. Where am I going to be in that separating quality? You know, I had a vision, a dream, here not too long ago. I might have shared it here. I don't know when I was here the last time, whenever that might have been. Hallelujah. But in this, I got invited to a feast. Well, it was a dinner. It was like a dinner. And it was an invitation that was set at a certain time, a certain place. And I showed up. I walked into the room. It was a big room, almost bigger than this room. Big, huge room, high ceiling, big double doors. And as I walked in, I realized it wasn't just a dinner. It was a feast. Hallelujah. And there were several people I knew there, some people, and a lot of people I didn't know. Hallelujah. And in the middle of the room was this big, long, heavy oak table. Very elaborately carved and very beautiful piece of furniture. Big, long, and wide. It was wide. Hallelujah. It would be the standard of a double or a triple table, depending on the size of your table in the kitchen. Hallelujah. And on that table was all manner of food. And it wasn't just here and there. It was piled high, all the way down and around and on the other side. And there was no chairs. And I knew intuitively, as I walked up to get in the line, because there was a line forming at this end of the table, and you would take your plate, and you would begin to move along, and as you moved along, you had to put something of everything on the plate. And as you were moving, doing that, you were eating your food. You would eat as you would go along, you know. Eat as you go along, piling that food. And there were some things on that table I knew I was not going to like. The consistency of it, the color of it, the look of it. Of course, you don't judge your food by what it looks like, do you? But I do. Hallelujah. And I knew that there was just some food. I also knew intuitively that I had to eat everything, and I couldn't murmur, I couldn't complain, I had to have the right countenance. Not only did I have to have the right countenance in the eating of it, but I had to have the right mentality concerning it, what I was eating, whether I liked it or not. Hallelujah. And I knew that it was not a test. It was like an examination. So I'm moving along, right? Putting that food on my plate, you know, working my way down, eating as I go. And I'm thinking, you know, how am I going to eat all this stuff? There's so much food here. I can't eat everything. Blah, 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 blah. You know, we're already murmuring. Hallelujah. And the line kept progressing along, and I noticed, you know, you go down one end of the table, you come around the corner, go across there, then you come down the other side. Huh? Hallelujah. And yes, it was a lot of eating. And as we were going along, I noticed that the line had now come to the right end of the other table, the other side of the table where we started. Almost full circle. Hallelujah. And we come to that side, and people were going to the left, and some were going to the right. And there was nobody there directing traffic. It was just that intuitively they knew that you could not go right, you had to go left, or you weren't supposed to go left, you were supposed to go right. Hallelujah. What do you think it's saying? I'll let you figure it out. Hallelujah. And I don't know what I did when I got to the end of the table, because thank God I woke up. Now I don't know what direction I would have went. But I'm concerned about it, brethren. It's something that's in my mind continually. And I'm always looking at myself in that perspective. I have to look at myself in that perspective. Hello. So it says there, up here, I was at, her prophets have dubbed them with untempered mortar. It's important where you fellowship. It's important that the word that you are hearing, whether that word is a tempered word or an untempered word. You know, tempering puts a strength into something. And usually it takes heat. They have to heat it to bring some sort of tempering to the product, especially in knives and metal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that takes fire. Seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when Lord hath not spoken it. Have not spoken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to tarry there. You can just hang on to that one. The people of the land have used... Now, brethren, he's talking to Jerusalem. He's talking to the Holy Place Church. Hallelujah. Have used oppression. Have you ever asserted your will in a circumstance or a situation over another person? Or have you coerced someone by your action, interaction, or your language with them? Have you coerced them to come your direction, to go your way? Have you done that? You okay? That's depression. God doesn't look at it as you getting your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Well, there's evidently an oppression that you can do rightfully. But they have done it wrongfully. I have to go to God and say, how does this apply to me? Is this the word of God to me as a part of the Holy Place Church? How does it apply to me? Where do I need to go? What do I need to do to repent? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sought, now this is the verse, see, I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge. You're a hedge. You're a hedge. That means the hedge is down. Brother, let me ask you, maybe this is being too pointed, I don't know. The next time there is a attack that kills people, a large number or group of people, like a terrorist attack, what culpability do you have in it? Do you think you have any culpability on the basis of the word that you have? I think you all want to be saviors. What are you saving? What are you saving? She says, I have looked for a man among them, the Holy Place Church, that should make up the head and stand in the gap before me for the Lamb, that they should not destroy it, but I found none. So we're all included. There's no exceptions here. Hallelujah. Another saying, you're not a good person. I'm saying we are not living up to the expectations of God concerning the word that is given us. And the promise of a hope, of a calling and election that He has made, that He is making known unto us. We should be here, not out here in the destruction. We should be an operating force that resists that destruction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, I have poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed unto their head, saith the Lord God. Brother, I believe that this situation of judgment can be overturned. And I believe that we have the power to overturn it. What do you believe? Do you have a denominational word that makes you go to church, participate with your fellow man in a good way, a good manner? Or do you have a word that goes beyond that? Do you have a word that requires a greater diligence, a greater effort, a greater position of responsibility, as well as accountability? What word do you have? Hello? Hallelujah. You know, I have said it here many times. God brought you here from your various places of location for a reason. Not for a better job. Not for a better position of security or comfort. He didn't bring you here for that. He has blessed you with it. It's to be utilized. It should be utilized for the purpose of developing the kingdom of God within your homes, within your communities, within the church. He called you here. Do you understand? He took you, some of you, from impossible situations. You weren't wealthy. You weren't anything. Were you? Huh? You were nothing. And God brought you. He blessed you. And that blessing is not being utilized in the fashion or in the form that it should be utilized.
Hallelujah.
Because God has a debt to pay to England. Did you know that?
Yes,
sir. He told me that years, maybe 30 years ago, when I was walking down an English street. He said, I have an obligation to the people of this country. He brought you here to fulfill that obligation. You're here because He divinely brought you far out of where you were. And He gave you something that many of those who you left back there do not have. Although many of them are now prospering, and they're in the same position that you are. And they're having to live in the midst of civil war. Years ago, when we, maybe three, four, five years ago, I don't know, I don't remember the time frame. But we were in the conference in Port Arthur, and God said, I'm bringing civil war. God said it. That was before they started blowing up churches up there in the north of Nigeria. That was before Boko Haram was kidnapping 300 students. Who are we? What are we? Hallelujah.
that you are to be saviors, you are to be the occupying force in the Spirit of God by virtue of the Spirit of liberty and the calling of the be a son. You know, they could not do anything to Jesus. Do you know that? They could not do anything to him unless he allowed them to do it. How much different are you and I from him? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My brethren, it is serious times. Serious times. And we don't have much more time. Hallelujah. What are you going to do with what it is you have? Me, I'm going down to prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. I'm going down to prayer. There are things in here I need to fix. There are things in here I need to fix. There are things in my emotions I need to fix. There are things in my being that I have to fix. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if I am diligent in the fixing of them, I'm saying diligent. If I am working in the fixing of them, Jesus will see it and there will be accommodation he will give me in the process of that fixing. Hallelujah. My hope is that in I think it's in Zechariah, where Joshua, the high priest, stood before the tribunal of heaven. And Satan was there, standing right there to accuse him. What did the Lord say? He rebuked him. He says, take up off him, Joshua, the high priest, brother. Take off of him his filthy garment. I want my filthy garment to go. I want every aspect of my humanity stripped off of me as an offering. Susa! Hallelujah. This is the mark of the high calling that Paul was pressing for. This was the position, the place of Paul's understanding. That's why he could sit in that jail cell at the end of the day and says, I have run my race. I've finished my course. No quibbling, no growling down in the dirt, begging for his life. Hallelujah. I have a crown laid up for me in heaven. Hallelujah. Undisputable crown. He said, undisputable crown laid up for me in heaven. There's no argument here. It's mine. I've earned it. Hallelujah. I want to have the same confidence. I want to have the same word. And I trust that you would want to have the same confidence as well as the same word. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. I just believe we should just bow our heads for a few minutes as we ponder the leading of the Holy Spirit to us because of the last few days. Trusting that the essence of the direction that God has brought to us will be felt in our hearts, in our homes, in our churches and fellowship groups, and in the community where we found ourselves. That yes, the spiritual momentum gained, this weekend will do us good. Hallelujah. In the days to come. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amagaburo Sibiana Malaba Sayana. Amana Saduru Diliamagama Sarana Masaya. As God's children, we cannot lose sight with regards to the coming of the Lord. That's the bedrock of that which God has called us to. And I pray, that grace be poured into our hearts. Each waking day, each time, opportunity given to us, to use our minds, our will, our emotion, our desire, we'll use it from the vantage point of, yes, day the Lord might appear to me. and He is appearing. Let's trust, you know, the choices we are making are the choices, the decisions we are making, you know, the desire of our hearts, the longing within us is according to God's divine will and purpose. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. You know that this, the process of spiritual maturity will not be stunted in our hearts, in our lives. You know that we're people who can grow and who can know God and function as we should. Yes, an invitation has been given to us. Let's ensure that, yes, doing things each day to ensure that selection, to ensure, hallelujah, that we're not found wanting in the day of His appearing. We can make that commitment tonight. Hallelujah. Oh my God, Sayan, Amala, Sayan. Let's talk to the Lord individually tonight. Oh my God, Sayan, Amala, Sayan. Hallelujah. I believe there's an urgency in the Spirit as regards to the times we are in. Our tomorrow is not guaranteed. Next week is not guaranteed. Next year is not guaranteed for any one of us. Let's pray that as God has given us today, that we will lay hold, hallelujah, on eternal life. We'll lay hold on the purposes of God. We'll not lose out, hallelujah, as regards to the opportunity that God is presenting to us. Hallelujah. Either consciously or unconsciously. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amalabasaya bagabasa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Borosimiana Messiah. Let's pray. You know that none of us will lose out in the things of the Father, in the things of the kingdom of God at this time. Irrespective of our ability to assimilate spiritually, by reason of chronological age, maybe the young ones, or the challenges for, you know, young adults, teenagers, or those in university, whatever, for us adults, that will live our lives in the perspective of God's kingdom. Hallelujah, amongst us, in our hearts and in our lives. Hallelujah, that will grace be given to us to fan to flame, hallelujah, the gift of God in our hearts, to be fervent in spirit, not slothful. Hallelujah, people who serve God and who honor God, who are alive to Him and who live in the light of His will each day. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, have your way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I believe we should just sing this song to the Lord as we rise up on our feet. Just stand for the next few minutes. You know, and the song that comes to me says, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thy own way. You are the potter, I am the clay." Hallelujah. Just like us to sing that as prayer to the Lord. And trust that, you know, the Lord is, you know, molding us, fashioning us, and bringing His divine purposes to pass in our lives. Hallelujah. That we're not falling short of God's glory. You know, that we're making good that which God has brought to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's sing that as prayer to the Lord tonight. Trusting, you know, that something of God's divine mind and will is being made known to us. Hallelujah. Oh God, oh Savior, Hallelujah.
I'm thine own way, Lord. I am the clay.
thine own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and sealed.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, one thing that struck me, you know, today, as, you know, Brother Barak was, you know, sharing, you know, was the fact that, you know, there are only entries. I never saw it in that light. There are only entries into the tabernacle. There are no exits. You know, and, you know, sometimes we come to God as people who feel that we have kind of alternatives. That, yes, we are Christians, but we can also do this and do that and many other things, you know, and all that. You know, and I know that the commitment that God has required and is requiring is a total commitment. Is everything, you know, or nothing. You know, and I trust and I believe that as we, you know, look to the Lord in this light, you know, it's God has given us His all. God has given us His best in His Son Jesus Christ. You know, and there's nothing, like Paul said in Romans 8, that can separate us what? From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not even death itself. And let's trust and believe that God who has called us, and God who is fashioning us, molding us, changing us, that the full effects of life in Christ Jesus will be realized in our earthly thoughts, in this body of clay. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.